The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost, except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now, I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. First of all, the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is that I got transferred. If you haven't heard it already, I'm finally allowed to talk about it. So all I'm going to say is I'm sorry and I'll miss you. But I don't want to turn this pulpit into a place to talk about me, okay? That's not what we're all about. So how about we focus from the elephant in the room and turn our focus on God Almighty, right? Who fills every room. And talk about the good word that we just heard, because that's what matters. Let's talk about this scripture that we just heard. As I mentioned yesterday, for the next yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we're hearing from Gospel of John chapter 17, which is Jesus' longest prayer recorded anywhere in the Bible. It's Holy Thursday night. It's the Last Supper. He's with his apostles. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen contrasted it with the Our Father, and he refers to it as Jesus, My Father. However, it's commonly known by another title. It's best known as Jesus' High Priestly Prayer. Now, why on earth is this called Jesus' High Priestly Prayer? Well, the reason is because in the Old Testament, on the Feast of Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Forgiveness, the Day of Atonement, the high priest from God of the people would go into the temple, and he would offer a prayer in three parts. First was for himself, the second was for his followers, and the third was for all the people. Now, it's the night before he dies. As I mentioned yesterday, his passion, his redemption of the world, it's already begun. This is the real Yom Kippur. This is the real moment of forgiveness. And Jesus is the temple. He is the dwelling place of God on earth. And so he turns to his heavenly Father in prayer, and he offers a prayer in three parts. First for himself, second for his disciples, third for all the world. We heard the first part yesterday. We heard the third part tomorrow, and here's the second part now. The prayer for his disciples. What our Lord asks his heavenly Father for all of us is that we be consecrated in truth. So let's talk about what that means for just a moment. What does it mean to be consecrated? Well, consecration means to be set apart. If something is consecrated, it is so manifestly, obviously, and unmistakably set apart for God that you could never mistake it for anything else. That's what it means to be consecrated. Take a look at this building, for example. This building is consecrated. And not just because we had a ceremony a couple years back and the bishop came and did the ceremony of consecration, but it is so manifestly and unmistakably belonging to God, you could never use this for anything else. This could never become a community center or a bank. It just screams, I was built for the glory of God. That's what it means to be consecrated. Take a look at the chalice on the altar. Same thing. You could never take that home and fill it with water and use it to hydrate yourself during your daily workout, right? It's so obviously made for the glory of God, it could never be mistaken for anything else. That's what it means to be consecrated. The same thing holds true for across so many areas in our faith. Music, for example. This is why sacred music is the way it is. It should never be mistaken for entertainment. If it is, it's not really set apart. The content of our sacred music should never be about ourselves, like we're singing about ourselves, we are the church, we are the people. No. It's about the Lord. Words spoken to God. Every song a prayer. It could never be mistaken for anything else. That's what it means to be consecrated. Now, what happens when something that's been consecrated to God is used as though it's a common, ordinary thing? It becomes something very, very sad. Let me give you an example. I know of a beautiful, beautiful stone church. Won't tell you where, because I don't want to draw any undue attention to this place. Beautiful stone church that was sold and resold, and it's currently being used as a restaurant and a hotel. No joke. Still looks like a church. What was once Stations of the Cross, looking just like our Stations of the Cross, they're now reused as menus. Are you shocked? You should be. Something inside the soul of anyone who cares about goodness and truth and beauty is twisted and upset whenever something consecrated to God is used in a common purpose. Well, that's true for a building. How much more true for you? God consecrates you to belong to Him, and everything in our life should proclaim and scream unmistakably, I belong to the Lord. Now, that's a tremendous responsibility. I once knew a woman, someone asked her, do you have children? And she quipped. She said, no, I don't have children. Children have me. So they're a complete life-consuming reality. They're not like a handbag. They're not like a necessity, an accessory. I don't have children. Children have me. Your consecration in the truth is kind of like that. It's not something you can do as a hobby. It completely absorbs you. It becomes nothing less than your very identity. And once you see and know the truth, you can never, ever turn back. That's what it means to be consecrated in the truth. This is God's identity in the world, nothing less than holiness, otherness. Holy means other. Holy means set apart. In the book of Revelation, there's a vision of God, and the people see God, and they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. It's the only time in the Bible God has ever called three things, holy, holy, holy. He's never called love, love, love. He's never called truth, truth, truth. God is never referred to as forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. His very identity is difference and otherness. And as it is with the Lord, so it has to be with us as well. Let's strive now to be in the world, but not of the world, that our Lord's prayer to his Heavenly Father might be made true in each one of us. And let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Augustine of Canterbury, pray for us.